Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network. Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawin Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawin Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The content provided in this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Lawin Media Network does not guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the information.
Hello, good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of season 3 of Be Bold, Why Not? And again, I'm your host, MJ, welcoming you to the show tonight. And to all our viewers in the Philippines, magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. And tonight, we have a very special guest. But before that, I just would like you to know you are watching us live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and if you miss the live show, don't worry because we are going to be on different podcasts like Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a lot more. And as we do every single week here in the show, we have a game that if you participate, then you will have a chance to win a prize. Let's show them the mechanics of the game.
How to join the game. 1. Watch the live show and listen to the conversations. 2. Participate and share your experiences on the topic during the live show. 3. Type your thoughts.
There you go. The more comment you have, the higher your chances of winning. But before that, of course, our theme for this season is Lead with Passion. Why is that? Well, because here at Be Bold, we believe that each one of us is born with special talent, with special skills, with greatness in you. You may not have a position or power, but leadership is not about position. It's not about power. It's just about leading, even if your family, maybe your friends, a group of family friends or in the community, it doesn't matter what other It doesn't matter what position you have. You have a special in you, your greatness in you that you can lead. And we know that sometimes it's hard because we think about what people say about us, but we don't care, right? Because we are bold. If we are bold enough to take charge of our life, to lead our lives, then we can go places, we can make a difference in other people's lives. And that's why we've been guesting a lot of different special people in our show, because we want them to inspire you, to motivate you, to bring out that greatness in you. And so tonight, we have a very special guest. And let me just tell you about our special guest for tonight. His name is Gene Carangal, and he's a dynamic project manager with over 15 years of experience in healthcare technology and software development. He is the region chair of the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce Greater San Antonio chapter. He inspires entrepreneurship and fosters business growth within the Filipino community. Gene's career began as an applications programmer at Information Resources, Inc., or Incorporated, after earning his math and computer science degree from the University of Illinois in Chicago. His leadership skills quickly advanced him to managing a team of software developers across various platforms. In 2002, Gene and his wife opened a pediatric clinic in McAllen, Texas. As a practice administrator, he ensured HIPAA and OSHA compliance and led the conversion to an electronic medical record system. By 2013, Gene returned to software development, joining two medical SaaS startups. He coached teams in agile principles and led a successful cloud-to-cloud integration project with Athena Health Incorporated. Currently, Gene is a digital product owner at USAA, overseeing two enterprise software applications. Gene is also a passionate real estate investor with properties in Rio Grande Valley. He founded Laguna Property Management LLC in San Antonio, managing operations and client communications. In his free time, Gene enjoys traveling with May, his wife of 27 years. He promotes the Adobo Throwdown Cooking Competition and Food Expo, celebrating Filipino culture through food, music, and dance. As the region chair of PACC-GSA, Gene is committed to driving business growth for Filipino-owned businesses and fostering unity within the Filipino community. Wow, that's a lot of accolades for our very special guest for tonight. Let's welcome Mr. Gene Carangal. Hi, Gene.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, everyone. I am doing well. How are you all doing?
You know what? It's been a day, so it's, I know I'm like, oh my God, okay. I don't know what
manic,
I'm talking
manic
about.
Manic Monday, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you come from the weekend and it's first day of work, there's a lot of left behind consults over the weekend. So we just get, you know, of them on Mondays. So anyway, before we move on, Gene, we have We have a viewer like greeting us tonight. Good evening, Texas, and Mom MJ from Dennis Estrella. Good evening, Dennis. All right. So, Gene, let us learn more about you. I know, where are you from in the Philippines?
So, I'm actually from Los Baños, Laguna. So, right by University of the Philippines in Los Baños.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and where are you, like, how many siblings do you have?
So I have two sisters. They're both younger. I'm the eldest. And that's it. No brothers.
Okay, so you're the eldest. Yep. Did you say you're the eldest?
Yes, I'm the eldest. Unfortunately, I am the eldest. I feel old.
All right, no wonder you had the... You know how when you're the eldest, they say you are the ones who actually tell them what to do. So you've been a leader all your life.
Yeah, they don't follow, my sisters don't follow me though. So I have to lead others, not my sisters.
Not your sisters. Okay.
They do what they want.
Yeah. So how we're growing up. Like, tell us about your childhood. Tell us about the 5-year-old Gene Carangal. So, like, what you wanted to be. You know how when we're young, people ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? So what was that for you when you were young?
I don't know. I don't really remember. But I think for a while, I wanted to be a secret agent when I was young. Wow. I don't know if you remember the secret agent movies in the Philippines. Yes, Tony Ferrer or something. I remember I used to be one. I wanted to be just like him for a while. And of course, I grew out of that. But growing up in the Philippines, I actually was born in Minnesota because my parents, they were in grad school in Minnesota. And they met in Minnesota. They married in Minnesota. And then they married and had me there. But when I was an infant, we moved to the Philippines. And I stayed in the Philippines until I was 14 years old.
Oh, and then you came back to the U.S. And then you came back.
Yeah. Went to the U.S. when I was 14 because my father was going through, he wanted to take a sabbatical. So he took a teaching position over at the University of North Carolina State. So we were in Raleigh, North Carolina for about a year. And that was my junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And then after that, my dad asked me, like, hey, what do you want to do for college? And I said, well, I probably just want to get into computer science. So he said, well, you probably should just stay here in the United States. So my family went back to the Philippines, and I stayed behind. I stayed with an aunt in Chicago, and I finished my last year of high school in Chicago.
Yeah, well, what inspired you to pursue computer science? I mean, I know it's a very in-demand career even now. I mean, you couldn't imagine, you know, any corporation or any business or anything without computer science, right? Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to pursue that?
Okay, so let me give you some background information. So my father is a well-known agriculturist. He is an agricultural scientist. He is so revered and so well-known that in 1973, he was awarded one of the 10 outstanding young men, T-O-Y-M, in the Philippines in the field of agriculture. Mm-hmm. That was 1973. A mere 6 years later, his only son will fail agriculture in high school. And that's when they decided, no, I can't get into the family business. I got to do something else. And computer science popped.
But then, why computer science?
It was something that I got exposed to fairly early, just reading about it. And I said, hey, you know what? That's something to do. And I think there's a future there. So I decided, that's what I'm going to do. And never look back.
Yeah, and you know, my husband is a computer science graduate too. So he's been a programmer. I think he graduated like 1995. So yeah, and he works for MD Anderson Cancer Center. And the beauty about IT or information technology is you can even work from home. So yeah, you can work from anywhere. I wish nursing is like that, right? But there's
it's pretty hard to give care over the phone.
That's right. Although there are some, you know, tasks or roles in nursing or specialties in nursing that you can actually do it remotely. And with the advent of, you know, technology, especially after COVID, right? Mm-hmm. We have come to like remote platforms and virtual visits and all that. But yeah, so information technology, wow. So now let's talk about your early years of working in the U.S. with your degree in computer science. What was your first job?
So my first job was an applications programmer. I started working for a marketing research firm in Chicago called Information Resources. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a marketing research that tracks sales of consumer packaged goods, like data from supermarkets, from convenience stores. And I worked on a mainframe language called PL1. Mm-hmm. And it's an ancient scientific language. But I did that for about 5 years. And then from there, went to do Visual Basic, which is another computer language. And then, then from there, I got into management. And then I did less development and more just managing software developers. And that's my favorite thing in the world is managing software developers. because coming my background as a developer, it's, you know, myself, I kind of know what makes them tick and what motivates mm-hmm. them. So mm-hmm. I have that insight of like, how can I get the best out of this person? So I had that insight and I had that experience. So motivating the developers was never an issue for me. I found that I just fit in that role.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of starting from, you know, entry level or those firsthand jobs, because when you climb up the ladder, as you said, having experienced that, you knew firsthand what people are, you know, would need to do their jobs better. So which made you a better leader and a manager when you actually became a manager. Well, before we move on, Gene, I'm going to read a couple of comments from our viewers, from Edward DeSeco. Good morning po. Maulang umaga po, watching from Quezon City. I didn't know what that means because what's maulang?
Yeah, I have no idea what that means, but it
sounds
good.
Okay, maybe it's magandang umaga. Yeah, it's a different dialect. Yeah, but good evening or good morning, Eduardo, and salamat for watching. And then, of course, we have Arceli Estarija. Good evening, Texas, watching from the Philippines. So before we move on, Gene, we're going to go on a short break.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Awesome.
All right, we're back. You know, I just read, it's maulan, it's not maula. So it's rainy. Because it says maulang.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, okay. Maulang umaga. Okay, so it's raining in the Philippines right now. Well, hopefully it's not that stormy, right? So now going back, as a new manager in when you became one, how prepared were you? Were you when you assumed the role of being a manager?
I don't think you can ever be prepared. I think it was baptism by fire because uh-huh. I didn't have any training. I just got thrown into it. And it took me a little while to adjust. But I think what helped me was like I wasn't the best gifted programmer. So I struggled when I was learning. And I realized that, hey, not everybody has to kind of has to be coached and they have to be guided. So just remembering that, I said, okay, well, I'm going to try to apply that. Everything that I've learned, all the mistakes I've made, I will try to teach that and say, hey, these are the mistakes I made. Please don't make the same ones, or I'm here and I'm here to help you. So that helped out. And also the fact that I empathize with them, I think that they respected that, mm-hmm. and also it also helped that I as a developer, I understood the technical challenges that they were going through, so I was mm-hmm. always able to empathize.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, that's true. Empathy is a good one. And so, what qualities do you think would be good leaders need to have or should have so they can have a successful and a smooth, you know, relationships with the people under them or the people that they lead or manage?
Okay, so there's five very basic things. So mm-hmm. the first one is integrity. I mean, you must act with honesty, right? And then there's self-awareness. You need to be aware of your your skill sets. You need to be aware of your strengths, and you need to be aware of your weaknesses. Of course, and we just said empathy and compassion. You know, you really need to put yourself in their shoes. Communication skills are important. You need to be able to communicate what is needed, and you know the goals, and they have to know what that is. And of course, vision. You need to know where you want to be and how you can direct people to follow you. Mm-hmm. But those aren't the most important things. There's actually two very crucial skill sets that you need to have. Mm-hmm. That's more important than both of them. And this is what makes a great leader. First one is you have to make good decisions with the information that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is you have to have the ability to influence others.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't make good decisions, you're not going to stay a leader long. And if you don't have the ability to influence others, you're not leading anyone.
Yeah. And I mean, it takes a lot of courage to make the decisions because, you know, the future of your department or the company that you're leading depends on those decisions that you make, right?
Exactly.
And it depends so much, as you said, it depends so much on your followers. So your influence is very crucial, because if the people don't follow you, if you're not influencing them in a positive way, the trajectory of the company is dependent upon whatever decision that you make.
Yep.
So as a new manager in your position, like what challenges like did you encounter, both like internally, like within yourself, and also externally, like from the people that you led, that you, people that you manage, what challenges did you encounter?
I think when I was younger, it was just trying to get people's respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was managing people, some people who were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a challenge in trying to get the respect. And then you always have to go, you always go through something called imposter syndrome.
Oh, right? Yes.
You don't, you know, you have the position, but you feel like, hey, how did I get this position? I don't really deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here? And then somebody else isn't. So there's guilt, right? Thinking that you don't deserve it. And then there's doubt where it's like, well, I shouldn't be able to do this. But you just have to overcome. You know, and then with time, that will come.
Yes, I think what stops us actually from reaching our biggest potentials is, you're right, like self-doubt or imposter syndrome. Like you don't think that you deserve anything good in life. Like why, what have I done to deserve such blessing, right? And we just question it. And then we doubt our abilities. We doubt our capabilities. But then, you know, everybody of us has special skill, has special talents. We are all gifted with something that we can tap into to actually make the most out of this life and be able to share and do our job. Because everybody, we have a role to play, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So
the other thing too. Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say one more thing.
Yeah.
There's part of our culture says, hey, try to do a good job, but don't make too much noise. Don't draw attention to yourself. Like we're told that growing up. So, you know, we were never told to like, hey, you need to go out there and excel. You need to assert yourself. That never came. So I think us growing up, we have to overcome that. You know, it's not like other cultures where that is encouraged. I think our culture is like, hey, you know, you need to assimilate and then just try to blend in. Don't try to stand out. I hear that a lot from a lot of people I've talked to who are Filipino. I think it's a Filipino thing.
Yeah, and I think that's everybody's struggle. I mean, the same here with me. That's my struggle too. I know my capabilities. I know I can do it. But just because of other people, like I'm so worried and fearful of what others would say about me, then I tend to just sulk into, you know, just being quiet and not being bold. That's why we created this show with Lawin Media Network, because we want to encourage people to just speak up. You know, if you don't stand up for yourself, who else will, right?
Absolutely.
So, and it's either that, or sometimes when people see you going up the ladder or going ahead of them, they tend to pull you down. I think that's another thing, right?
That's part of our culture. They call it the crab mentality. And it's got to stop. I think that's more of a problem before. I think that's, you know, starting to go away with a new generation of people. I think people are realizing that that is destructive behavior. It's taken a while, but we'll get there.
Yes, absolutely. Plus, we're now in the United States of America, right? Where everybody is free to be themselves. And it's like we can adapt to the good things in every culture. And we can work on the things that don't really serve us well, especially if we're trying to help the community. So we should make the most out of, like, being a Filipino. We can make the most out of being Filipinos, because we are known to be hardworking people, right? So that's one thing that we can be very proud of. We are very compassionate, caring, hardworking. Although there are things in our culture too that don't serve us, and we can work on them, right? So anyway, we have a few more comments. I'm so grateful. Thank you to all those that are actually participating. From Geraldine Garcia, good evening, Texas, watching from Villasis, Pangasinan. Thank you. And then Ara Mina Ungria, have a blessed morning po, watching from Pangasinan. Wow, we have a lot of viewers from Pangasinan. And also Ruby Vergara, good evening, Texas. God bless your show and keep on inspiring people. Thank you, Ruby. And then Jewel Bacani. Wow. Hello, watching from Tarlac. Okay, Jewel, thank you so much. So we were just talking about a little bit of our culture. Now let me ask you, Jean, at what point in your life did you decide that you have something bigger, you have a bigger purpose in this world than... Of course, you already were successful. You were a manager. You had you're happily married. How many children do you have, by the way?
We were not blessed with children.
Okay.
But it's okay. My wife's a pediatrician, so she sees children all day.
Yes. Yeah. She has a lot of children.
Yeah.
She's a mother of all kids. Anyway, yeah. At what point in your life did you realize that you actually have a purpose bigger than yourself?
I think it happened maybe in 2010, about 14 years ago, when I realized that the Rio Grande food bank, I was living in Rio Grande Valley at the time, and there was a food bank, and they had an event, and I went to this fundraising event, and it's then when I realized, like, how much help they need, and I was like, well... Mm-hmm. Instead of complaining, I should do something. So I went and I helped out. I participated in a vendor event. I used to make custom ice cream. So I went to an event and highlighted my custom ice cream. And then I went to several other events, and then the food bank asked me to become one of their board of directors. So I served on the board. And ever since then, I've always been involved with nonprofits, either as a board member or as a donor or as an organizer. And so it's been, since 2010.
Wow, that's amazing. That's like 14 years. Yeah, because I know that, as I said, we are all gifted with something that we can contribute to the community. So what do you think is something you have that you can actually contribute to humanity?
I think, and this is something that, for me, it's very personal. I will do anything in the world to make people smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I could do that with my food. Mm-hmm. I found that I am just an avid cook. I focus a lot on technique. And I was doing that for a while. And then I also realized, like, hey, I got to go beyond just what I'm cooking. Mm-hmm. I have to go and inspire others so we'll have more attention to our food. And I wanted mm-hmm. to bring Filipino food into the spotlight. And mm-hmm. that's when I decided, we need to have like a big festival. We need to have a big cooking competition. And we need to highlight only Filipino food. We don't want to be part of a bigger Asian festival. We want our own festival mm-hmm. to stand on our own pedestal and to be mm-hmm. highlighted by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's when I came up with the Adobo Throwdown. It's like, hey, we need to elevate our food. We need to get the respect, you know, for our food. We want our food to be treated just like everybody else. So
wow.
that's really the realization. And that's how the Adobo Throwdown came out. And that's been my second job that's unpaid ever since.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to learn more about Adobo Throwdown in a little bit. But before we go on a break, let me just read a couple of more comments from Dennis Estarija again. Good morning, Sir Jean Carangal and Mom MJ. And from Alexis Oliveros, good evening, Texas, watching from Pangasinan. God bless po. Okay, Jean, we'll continue with our conversation, but let's go for a short break.
Awesome.
All right, we're ready for a break.
Attention, food lovers! Get ready for a brand new culinary adventure with the Commissary Kitchen.
Join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time or 9 a.m. in the Philippines for a live show that brings the best of the kitchen straight to your screen.
Presented by Lawn Live Stream and Podcast and produced by Lawn Media Network, we'll explore delicious recipes, share expert cooking tips, and bring you closer to the world of gourmet cuisine.
Don't miss our pilot episode on July 18th. Mark your calendars and tune in for a flavorful journey you won't want to miss.
The Commissary Kitchen, where every meal is an experience.
All right, we're back. I know you kind of mentioned about Adobo Throwdown already, but that's going to be the highlight. That's going to be the later part of the show. Sure. So we're going to learn more about your other leadership roles in the community. I know you're the region chair for the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce in Greater San Antonio region. So tell us about that. When did you get involved with the Filipino community in San Antonio?
Well, that actually started in 2019. I didn't know about the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce until about 2019, and in 2019, I was invited to join. I became a member in 2019, and then 2020, I became a board member. And mm-hmm. I've been a board member ever since. And mm-hmm. that was for PACC. And at the time, it was called PACC CTR, Central Texas Region. But now it's evolved to PACC GSA, Greater San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you become region chair?
I became region chair actually just this year, January 1st of this year.
How is that going? Yeah, I know you're so.
It's going. Prior to that, I was vice chair for 2 years prior to that. Mm-hmm. And region chair is a completely different thing. It is there's a lot of responsibility. It's responsible for the long-term vision of the chamber. I lead all the projects. I'm a member of every committee, although I get to delegate more. So it's quite a bit of work. It's a lot of hard work, but it's very fulfilling. It's an honor to serve as region chair because it comes with responsibility. It comes with, but it's also very fulfilling. So, and yeah, it took a little while to transition because you have to earn the respect of your peers. It's a different position. So I'm still kind of, it took me a few months to learn everything, but I think I've settled in.
Yeah. So how are you managing between, you know, your roles in the chamber and then you still have your own business now though, right? Or you're still working for, yeah. So how are you managing?
I'm not sure how, but I have a full-time job, but I'm also a real estate investor. So that's a side business. So I still have that going on. And I am region chair, but I'm also being the event promoter for Adobe Throwdown. That takes quite a bit of time. So what I do is I rely a lot on the other board members for the committees. And I rely on volunteers. We have quite a few volunteers for the Adobe Throwdown. And I also have an assistant. I have two assistants that work with me. They're both VAs from the Philippines.
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of having VAs because they can do a lot of legwork for you, right? And and that's, wow, that's amazing. But then I want to know too, because it seems like it's not just you're leading a lot of organizations and all that, but what do you do for fun? Do you have time to go out and have fun?
Well, for fun, of course, I love to go out to Filipino restaurants, try out different restaurants, and not just Filipino. We also love to travel when time permits. So last year we had a big trip to the Philippines I took a month off going to the Philippines. We went to Maine last year. This year we did something from the knock off the bucket, check off the bucket list. We went to Paris for the first time. When time permits, we love to travel.
Okay.
So even road trips, like we'll do side road trips. So I just love going to another city where nobody knows me and I can forget about all the different responsibilities and then just think about having a great time. And I come back more refreshed and actually more inspired each time I take a trip. Really, each time I take a trip.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you got to reset, right? Kind of like, you know, the computer when it's, you know, it's freezing, you can't do anything. That means it's time to reset. And then your internet. So it's the same thing. Our body needs to reset sometimes because we're doing so many things and we don't realize how we're actually getting worn out and we just need to take a break. So that's good that you incorporate that in your life. And that's a good advice for our viewers. Yeah, for those of you who just like doing things, you just gotta take care of yourself too. Anyway, we have a lot more comments. And wow, thank you all so much from Alvin Reyes. Good morning, mom and sir, watching from Pangasinan. And then Rochelle DeSeco, good morning, Texas. Have a blessed Monday po. From Eduard DeSeco, good morning po, watching from Quezon City. Pakumusta po sa kapatid ko, Mark Carlo DeSeco. All right, kumusta raw Mark Carlo from Edward. And then, of course, we have Jericho Espiritu. Yeah, good morning, Texas, watching from Tarlac, Philippines. Hi, Ma'am MJ and Sir Jean Carangal. God bless po. God bless to you, too. So, I'm curious, because, you know, cooking is your, like you said, it's your passion. How did you learn to cook? And who is your role model in cooking? I'm just, because I know they say that usually if a man is good in cooking, they're really good. So who did you learn it from, Gene?
So actually learning, I just learned from watching. I watch a lot of videos And I'm not sure when it started, but I think what happened, and this is just my wife tells me this, that I didn't really start cooking until my mom passed.
Oh.
My mom was the most fantastic cook. The way she cooked everything, I don't know. I've never learned from her, but I feel that my cooking is a reflection of a continuation of what she would have done if she was still alive. So I think that's the connection. Although I don't know, she never passed on any of her recipes. So I just try to recreate it in my mind. So a lot, most, pretty much all of the cooking I do is a tribute to her.
Wow, that's amazing. So you're just continuing the legacy that she has left for you and that you inspired you to just, wow, that's a very good and touching and reason for you to continue cooking, and actually that inspired you to create what you do now, right?
That's the first story. There's another story.
Okay, what's the other story?
Okay, the other story is the one that my wife does not want me to tell. Okay.
Okay.
I think this was 2008. And I'm going to take about 3 minutes to tell this story. I was the manager of our pediatric clinic, and every time we'll have a business meeting with the staff, I would order whatever they want to eat. And their favorite thing in the world is the chicken wings from, oh my God, now I'm drawing a blank.
Is it Korean chicken? No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's the one where Troy Aikman is the one with the good fries. Oh man, now I'm drawing a blank.
Okay, well, it's okay. We can go back there. But so that inspired you. Let's go back there. Because you just keep ordering, so
we keep ordering from this chicken wings. And then I went and pick up the order and drive it back to the clinic, and I'm counting the wings. Like, hey, wait a minute. This isn't enough. They didn't give us enough wings. So I go back and say, hey, and actually I called the place and said, look, you didn't give us enough wings, or you made a mistake in our order. And the guy said, like, no, I gave you exactly the wings that you ordered. I said, no, let me talk to the manager. He goes, no, I'm the manager. I said, I'm going to go over there and pick up my wings.
Okay.
So I go over there, and then my wife is like thinking, you know what? I better come along with him. This guy's going to, my husband's going to cause trouble. So she drives with me, and I go over there and then pick up the wings, and the manager just says nothing. So I said, you know what? I go to my wife and said, you know what? I know that wings are your favorite thing in the world, but we cannot come back here. I promise you, I will learn how to make this. And that's how I really learned how to cook.
Wow. You know what? So pretty much the two most significant women in your life, right, inspired you to cook, your mom and your wife. Yep. Yeah,
I just remembered it was Wingstop.
Oh,
I have never had Wingstop since 2008 because this happened. Wingstop, that manager told me that it gave me the right wings and I needed to bring it back there. And he said, oh, and this is what I forgot too. He said that I needed to bring it back there and he had to count them.
What?
So, yep, that's why I said, no, I'm going over there. I'm going to get the rest of my order. And he said nothing. He didn't apologize. I said, you know what? I'm never coming back. So I haven't had Wingstop since 2008. And they really inspired me to learn how to make buffalo.
That's good. But shouldn't you thank Wingstop? Because without that experience from them, you wouldn't be the cook that you are.
I owe my success to them.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, that's a very ironic story, right? That's true. And you know, sometimes it just takes one thing, and we don't know what that one thing is that will actually trigger or inspire us or actually kick that light bulb, right? And turn on that light bulb that, ooh, I need to do something. So now I know it's getting more interesting, But we're going to go on another short break. And for the final segment of the show, we are going to talk about a double throwdown. I can't wait to hear about how it came about, why a double throwdown, and what's in store for every one of us, for all the viewers that's coming up with a double throwdown. So let's go on a short break and we will be back. All right, we're back and we have a few more comments from Edward De Seco. Salamat po and God bless. Thank you and God bless too. And then we have John Denver. Hi, Mom MJ, Sir Jean Carangal. God bless po. Morning, Texas from Philippines. All right. And from Attorney Orlando Deason, we have a question here. Just wondering, is the adobo throwdown part of or separate from the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce Greater San Antonio? Okay. Can you answer that, Gene?
Yep, I can answer that. So the Adobo Throwdown Cooking Competition and Food Expo, the event itself is part of the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce Greater San Antonio because 100% of the proceeds from the Adobo Throwdown event goes to the PACC GSA humanitarian projects. So all the proceeds go to the humanitarian projects.
Okay. Wow, that's great. So, and then we have another comment from Joanne Estarija. Good evening, Texas, from Philippines. God bless, Paul. God bless you too. All right. So now let's talk about adobo throwdown. Why adobo throwdown? Why the name of adobo throwdown?
Okay. So it started out in 2019. I was thinking, you know, I wanted to promote adobo. I wanted to have a cooking competition. So in 2019, I organized a very small adobo cooking competition. And it was in a very small event center downtown. And we had like maybe 5 competitors. It was all free. Maybe a total of 50 people came. And that was back in 2019. And one of the members of the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce attended, and she told me that should be part of PCC. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. And that's when I joined PACC, mm-hmm. and I with the intent of making the adobo, at the time it was called Adobo Fest.
Okay.
The Adobo Fest be part of PACC, but that was 2020. And that's mm-hmm. when COVID happened.
Yes, that's right.
So we had to wait until 2022. And then I also realized that Adobo Fest was copyrighted, so I can't use that name. And that's when we came up with Adobo Throwdown. So Adobo mm-hmm. Throwdown has been an annual event since 2022.
Okay, so 22, the first year, and then 23. So this is the third year.
This is the third year. So 2022, it was a one-day event only, and we only had the two we had three competitions. One is the professional cooking competition. And the other is an amateur adobo cooking competition, and then ube dessert competition. And that was 2022. And then 2023, it became Adobo Throwdown 2.0. So we decided, okay, instead of calling it second annual, it has to be Adobo Throwdown 2.0. And that's it became a full weekend. We added two more contests. We added Filipino barbecue competition and a lumpia cooking competition. And that was in 2023. It's 2.0, became a full weekend. And this year, we didn't add anything new, but we added on the professional cooking competition, we decided, hey, we're going to let the public decide who gets to compete. So we did a call out and asked people to nominate their favorite chefs to compete in the professional adobo throwdown. And then we narrowed it down to six competitors or five competitors. And those five are competing this year.
So it's pretty much like there's a preliminary round where you get the nominees. And then during the preliminary, do they get to cook also?
And no, then it's just people just vote, and it's just them, people can vote on, people vote online, and then they can just shoot the show to this report. And to make it interesting, we also made it so that you can vote every day if you'd like, you know, and it's just a way to get more awareness from the chefs. So it really helped out their social media accounts. It helped bring awareness to them and their customers. So it's a really good exercise to do. And it's first time we did it was this year.
Oh, wow. So how much preparation do you have to do? Like, how long do you have to prepare for this event? Because it seems like it's a really huge event. Unfortunately, I haven't been to one because every time you have it, it's either I'm working, because like this time too, I work weekend 10 and 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then last year, so how much preparation do you do?
It takes a year. It takes a full year. Because what happens is as soon as it ends, we're actually already signing the contract for the next year. Because it takes that much time to first to reserve it. Then you have to go through like the accounting and from the previous year. Then you have to go through the preparations. Now, we're not working the full time. I think things heat up starting January, February, because we start posting on social media. And it just pretty much after that, it's almost nonstop.
So comparing from the beginning, like when you first or started this, how is the attendance been? Like, do you see an increase in participation and attendance of the community and the nearby or other cities around San Antonio?
So the first year it was about like 700 people or so, and then last year it was like 900, and then per day, and that was like at least, because the thing that the challenge we had last year was the food trucks were more spread out, and then so a lot of people were outside going inside, so it was people were more dispersed. This year is going to be different because it's going to be all indoors. So there's not, there's maybe just two food trucks, but everything else is inside. So it's going to be more concentrated.
Yeah.
So we had some significant increase in attendance. We also have a significant increase in engagement. We had maybe the previous year, we had 20 volunteers the first year. This year, because of all the competitions, all the changes we had to make, we had about 50 volunteers per day. And then this year is probably going to be like around 60, or we need 60 or so per day.
It's getting big.
It's big. And it's also what I like to call a logistical nightmare, because you have so many things going on. You have three different competitions going on at the same time in the back. Then and then you have live entertainment in the front, and then you have a food court. Then you have people preparing. And then we're also checking in different VIPs. We have politicians that come in, so we have to prep them. So there's all these things going on in the background, and they're all happening all at once.
So wow, how do you manage? And how do you manage all that? I mean, being like,
I teleport to five different places at the same time. Or actually, it's so I rely a lot on the board members of PACC. We've delegated the contest, the competitor relations, the contest regulations, the scoring, that's all assigned. And then last year, what we didn't have was we didn't have a full-time person assigned to the VIPs. And now we have a liaison that's going to be with them full-time. We also had to work with, last year, we had to work with security, additional security, because some of the politicians, they come with their own detail. So we have to accommodate them. So, all right, they'll say, hey, where is this person going to be? We need to know exactly where they're going to be. So we need to be know where we're stationed. So it's a lot of work and a lot of coordination. And that's why the last 3 weeks or so are like frantic. Like starting now, it's just everything's frantic.
Okay. Well, you got this, Gene. So what's your vision of a double throwdown? How big do you think it's and how far is it going to go? Like years from now?
So I think my vision is that it's going to go beyond San Antonio. Of course, it's always been, my vision has always been that goes to other cities in Texas. But my long-term vision is it goes beyond Texas. There's some interest. I don't want to say anything, but there are some interests in other cities. And I don't want to mention anything yet. But the ultimate goal is to make this a national event. And the, the goal would be to make it a national competition where you have different competition from each city. And then the national competition itself will be here in San Antonio.
Wow.
So different cities, they can have their own regional competitions, city competitions, and then they all have, they all converge here.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about of being bold, right?
That's right. Yes. I'm like, I don't know how much bolder I can be than saying it's going to go everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it, you know, anything starts from something, you know, the seed, you planted a seed and then the seed will grow and then it will have branches and then it will. So, yeah, I mean, wow, that's amazing. Now tell the viewers when this is and how they're going to get their tickets.
Sure. So the event itself is going to be August 10th and 11th of this year. Over at the Schertz Civic Center. This is in Schertz, Texas, about 20 minutes north of San Antonio. And the way to get tickets are go to www.adobethrowdown.com/tickets. So you can buy tickets for 1 day. The best thing to do is buy tickets for 2 days. You get 30% off when you buy a 2 day pass. But so I'm going to give you guys a special deal just because of you listening, you know, here being at Be Bold. We are offering everybody here a special discount. So if you go and buy tickets right now for, I think it's, you have until the 29th, you have 1 week, you get 20% off tickets if you enter the coupon code BEBOLD, B-E-B-O-L-D. So you'll get 20% off all your tickets.
Advantage of that. Anyway, we have another comment from Eileen Ligot Jason. Gene's passion as a leader is truly inspiring. We are eagerly looking forward to the Adobo Throwdown in San Antonio. Can't wait to see everyone there. Yes.
Thank you, Eileen.
I'm missing out. I love Adobo, but I'm going to miss it out. But anyway, Gene, what are your final words of inspiration for our viewers? Because I know here in Be Bold, we have... You know, you don't have to be, again, as I said, a man of power and of position to actually be a leader. You can be a leader of your own life. And I think that's the first thing. You have to take charge of your own life. Don't let other people dictate, right? Your life. It's your life. So you're the driver. So what can you tell our viewers to encourage them to be themselves and just be authentic? And be bold about what they want to achieve in their lives, just like what you have done.
Okay, I think the advice I can give is, again, be true to yourself, Do what you feel is right. Don't care so much about what other people think of you. And don't be afraid to fail. Actually fail. So the key is to fail often and early, because each failure is a lesson learned. I learned more from my failures than any of my successes. So you just have to keep trying. And everybody has it in them to be a leader. Everybody has in them the ability to lead, and the ability to manage, the ability to succeed. It is up to you. It's up to them to decide if they're going to do it or not.
Yes, absolutely. Great words. But before you go, Gene, we're going to see who won in our game tonight. So let's show them who's going to win. All right. Where's our... There you go. Spin. Okay, let's do it. All right, we have a winner, Ruby Vergara. Congratulations, Ruby. You know, you will be contacted on how you will claim your prize. And thank you so much for always watching the show. You know, they are regulars. Like, we actually have a fan base in the Philippines. Thank you so much for watching us and supporting us. You know, we are here for you. We're doing this because we want to inspire you. Whatever, at whatever point in your life, you have someone or you have something in you that is great, that can inspire other people. And we just have to just take that one bold step. Just like what Gene had said, be true to yourself. Be passionate, right? Because we only live once. And, you know, we want to leave a mark in this world that people will remember us for. And we hope that that remembrance or memory of us is something good. Something that we have done for others, no matter how big or small that is. Right, Gene?
Yep. Thank you so much. Thank you, MJ, for having me on here. And thank you for letting me say my message. And I wish you the best of luck. This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your time. I know you're busy being, you know, leading a lot of organizations and having the Adobo Throwdown coming up. I can't imagine. It's like, I can only imagine how stressful this is for you. But I know that you love what you do. And I think that's what matters really most. When you love what you do, you just enjoy it, right? So, exactly. Anything. Yes, thank you so much, Gene. And again, to all our viewers, thank you so much for watching again. And next Monday, come back and watch us for our episode 6 of Be Bold, Why Not? Good night, everyone.
Good night.